B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Should be a fun season. We have a great team. Just being around today, I'm very excited. I don't know if last year we had so many guys, but it sounds like cool to say that everybody's in great shape and ready to roll. I've been saying it all along the whole winter. To do this thing, we have to turn the page. And when your big boys, you know, David and Chris and Nate and Rick and Mookie, JD, those guys, that's all they talk about. Looking forward to 2019. It makes it easier for me to sit down with these guys, send a message, and be ready to roll.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora yesterday speaking in Fort Myers. Red Sox spring training about to get going. Dan Shaughnessy is already there, ready to get going. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Dan.
I am your boots on the ground here in Fort Myers, Florida, and I'm standing right near the batting cages, so you'll hear the ambiance of crack of the bat while we're talking here. How's that?
Well, very nice.
You work for the Globe. This is your sport now. How many do they send down there? Ten people to cover this thing?
We do have we have four people and a photographer here to cover all the news. So yeah, we're well equipped.
Did you do your expenses for the Super Bowl yet?
Yes. Yeah, yes. I sometimes do them before the trip. I try to get those out of the way. Yeah.
What? I don't even want to get into that. We'll do that another day. Dan, let me ask you this: what's sort of the feel there as they get ready to come back after a very successful season, 108 regular season wins, winning the World Series, and now. You know, I think there could be sort of the hangover effect of that, could there not?
Oh, sure. I mean, winning 109 and then the way they steamrolled in the playoffs, buried everybody, won on the road. I mean, you're not going to replicate that. They certainly have the potential. It's the same team. I mean, it's one of the rare years. We were talking to not have any new players. I think after the 13th season, like A.J. Pierzynski was the only new guy. And there's really nobody new here. I mean, you lost Kelly. You lost Kimball so far. You lost Ian Kinsler. It's the same team other than that. So they're all here. And I was trying to come up with the questions. What are the issues in this camp?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, who's your closer going to be? Barnes, Brazier, or you know, some unknown guy. And then you got, is Pedroia going to be equipped to play second base? Is he physically going to be up to that?
How's
that going to go? Or is Holt going to be your guy? The rotation is set. Really, I think beyond those, you know, who's going to the White House? So what else are we going to ask them? I mean, it's not a camp with a lot of open jobs or controversy or really subject matter. You know, everyone's looking all around the country to see what's going to happen with Harp and Machado, but that doesn't really affect Boston too much. Only in that, I think guys like Bogarts, Betts, et cetera, need to be looking at what the landscape looks like to decide whether it's better to maybe re-up here or to find out what's out there.
I think you're downplaying their issues, Dan. Dan, I think you are totally downplaying what their issues are.
What's
the status of Chris Sale? What condition is he in? Is he going to look like the guy that he looked like at the end of the season last year in October?
Is he on it? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get his best. I mean, he can walk at the end of the year, and but the way they handled him last year, as we know, he barely pitched after August.
But is he healthy is my question, because he wasn't at the end of the year.
Him.
He contributed.
Yeah, well, Beetle, you're not going to know that maybe ever, the way they handle this guy. He won't pitch much down here. They didn't pitch him much last year down here, and you'll see less this time. They'll lie about it. They'll say he's not talking about it, and then you'll see him opening day, and that's what you have. But, you know, they managed him very carefully all last year, and we still didn't know at the end of the year what the story was. So that's just going to be, I think his workload will be continued to be diminished. He won't get 200 innings, I don't think. And again, the contract thing is going to make that interesting.
Are they going to carry three catchers again all year? Is that part of their plan?
Yeah, that's a question. I think that it wouldn't be surprising if they finally traded Swihart. Or you know, Leon would be a guy, to me, I would move Leon at this point. I thought Vasquez kind of won the job by the end of the year. He had a terrible first half. At the end of the year, he was their catcher. You know, the pitchers always profess all their love for Sandy Leon, and that's great. But I think that they'll love anybody. And Swihart's young and athletic and a switch hitter, so... but you probably don't need to carry the three.
I'm going to come down there and ask all these questions for you guys.
Yeah.
What's Abraham doing?
It seems like, to borrow a phrase from Maz, the good ship lollipop down there. They got all kinds of question marks going into this thing.
Yeah. you can't come up with much more than what we just did. And that was
but it's, I mean, even if you did
those are big issues.
It's free pass for them, though. Like
it's like the
David Price FU tours on.
I get it, and that's part of winning it all. You deserve the leeway, but we can still talk about these things. Yeah. The closer thing, I think, is top of the list, and this is what I wanted to ask you. We talked about it a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Is there any shot Craig Kimbrell is back in a Red Sox uniform this year?
I was talking to Alex Speer about that, and only that he has a lot of numbers. He wrote a piece today, but just the math doesn't really work. I understand what you're saying, be the 1 year, $10 million, whatever, but I think that there's dollars over the cap that they don't want to get into the $2 for every dollar, man, kind of thing. I'm serious. And let's not forget, Beatles. These guys think they have invented the wheel. They were magic last year. Everything they did worked out. Getting Eovaldi, you know, not worrying about their bullpen when we all were worried about their bullpen. They figured it out, and I think now it's going to be, yeah, we discovered Brazier last year, and we can, you know, we don't have to pay big money for a closer. We'll figure it out. They're a little bit smarter than everybody else right now, a little full of themselves, and that can lead to disaster. You're right.
Benintendi looked a little more meatheady. Remember last year when he showed up? Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
What's that guy on?
Like, I have not seen him. Yeah,
he bulked up anymore?
I don't think he's here. Bradley's here.
That's right. He's got pitchers here.
The position players, some of them would be coming in, and some of them are here.
Thought he'd be in early, though.
Andrew.
You think Bradley might have the ass a little bit when he starts getting asked about how the team tried to trade him in the offseason?
Yeah, I think he's always got that. And, you know, that's a good little attitude there. He's already announced he's not going to the White House. That's kind of interesting. And, I thought they should have traded high on him. I thought that was a guy.
Well, they tried.
He was high. Yeah, I know.
They reportedly tried to. I think X should go ask the question. I think X should go in there.
Send Bill James down.
Hey, how'd you feel about that? Is there anything new on Bill James still being a member of the team? As I refuse to believe that he is just a consultant. He's on their payroll. Has anyone brought that up with the team?
Well, maybe we can ask John Henry that. I expect next week, probably on Wednesday, we'll have our Q&A with the owner, and that would be a good question for him.
Please do. Please ask him why it is that Bill James still collects a paycheck from the Boston Red Sox, regardless of what his employment status is as a consultant versus full-time employee. Ask him why they still have the need for him at this point in time.
Beetle, I'm going to try and do that.
Thank you. Thank you, because someone needs to ask the owner that. He's not worth it. They've got newer, younger, smarter nerds than Bill James. They don't need him and all of his ridiculous distractions, including
he's the godfather,
including crapping on last week Frank Robinson on the day he passed away. Okay.
I missed that, Beetle. I missed that.
Oh, so you're not even aware of this. Last week, Frank Robinson passes away, and Bill James took to Twitter to tell everyone how he should never have been the MVP in 1966.
Just for what it's worth.
Yeah. The year he hit 49 bombs.
I think he won the Triple Crown that year, did he not?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, 316, 49.
Yeah, for what it's worth.
Yeah, casual Triple Crown winner in 1966. But no, you're right. On the day that he died, it was important for him to put that out there.
I will do some deep research on that.
Yeah, it was a war stat.
Give me a mission here.
And you'll like this, Dan. Eck responded on Twitter with two words. Shut up. Eck replied to Bill James, and Eck told Bill James on Twitter last week to shut up. So you can talk to Eck about it. You can talk to anybody you want down there. I think there's a little something there for your column.
That's good, Peter. You're giving me a lot of good ideas.
I'm trying to give you some information, some material.
How many days are you down there? How many days are you
there? A million, a couple weeks.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Where are you staying down there? You got a nice spot where you can sun yourself?
I don't want people storming the gates there. You know, we got to keep the free meatballs at 5 o'clock for ourselves. I'm going to tell you guys that.
Embassy Suites. Nice.
All right, Dan. Let's
put it this way, Beatle. I am the youngest person in my hotel. Let's put it that way.
Welcome to baseball season. How's Abraham?
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he's down here rocking the footwear and the shorts. He's got the good tan like myself. It's looking good.
Yeah. By the way, Evan Drellick is looking for a job, and I think you guys should hire him.
He's good. Talented guy. I agree.
Very talented. I hope he still makes it to spring training despite not having anybody to work for at the moment.
Me too.
That's my hope. All right. Dan, appreciate the time. We'll be talking to you again, I'm sure, before you leave there.
Yeah, I'll have more for you.
All right, good.
See you.
See you, Dan. Dan Shaughnessy with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Drellick, no longer, though, at NBC Sports Boston.
Wow.
Out.
He's one of the few guys that hold me with the baseball stuff.
He's the only one in there who goes in there and stirs it up.
Right, and I think he's pretty damn good on camera. Like, he gets the camera and you watch some of the baseball show, and you're trying to pick up baseball tidbits. I'm not the biggest baseball guy. He's the one guy in this market that actually held me at times on baseball.
Irritates the hell out of people.
And you eliminate him.
In that clubhouse.
And you eliminate him.
He's my favorite.
They got some guy coming in. I guess Chad Finn had it. George something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same role, though.
I'd hope not.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a strict baseball reporting type of thing. I don't think it is.
So no, Chad Finn's story says they're going to go on more of an aggregation form of covering.
Yeah, I think it's a shuffle of sorts. I don't think it's... I think that role maybe is being limited. I don't know. I'm just going based on what everybody else knows.
This guy's passed. He's not a baseball guy.
Yeah, so that's not what it is.
Oh.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with Relic. His best stuff was the audio from press conferences and in the clubhouse. I don't know if that necessarily translated to TV, but it sure as hell translated for us on radio. So as a talk show host in this town, I'm gonna miss him if he goes to another market or is not covering the Red Sox. Because who else is going to go in there and piss Dustin Pedroia off?
Oh, not Pete.
Who else is going to go in there and have David Price telling him to go F off? Who else is going to do that?
Jodeci May. That's it. That's about
not
it.
Not like Evan did.
That's about it.
Who else is going to sit there and ask Cora all the obvious tough questions that no one else wants to ask?
Nope.
Who's going to do that?
None of them.
We're not going to have that audio anymore. We need someone in there to be a pest. Stir it up.
Buckley will get angry.
Buckley's good, but he's not. I don't know if Buckley's there every single day.
He's athletic, though, right?
Yeah, he's a columnist. It's a little different than being a beat guy.
Right. Shaughnessy, weeks. He's down there for weeks.
Someone needs to hire Drellick. Globe, Herald, somebody. Somebody get on that. Athletic, to hire him.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub. This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, this just in. David Pastrnak was injured. He's going to hit.
Where?
In practice? I want to make sure. You're getting the same thing here, Jim? Thumb surgery?
What?
David Pastrnak, according to general manager Don Sweeney, talked to the media at Warrior Ice this morning, said he underwent a procedure on his left thumb. The repair was successful. He's going to be out for the next 2 weeks and then reevaluate. There's another report that says...
The team tweet?
Yeah, that's what Hardy said was basically the team tweet.
Here we go. Pastrnak and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner on Sunday night. This is from the team tweet. At about 11:30, while walking to his transportation, Pastrnak fell and injured his left thumb. They'll know better
to his transportation.
Lift things up and put them down.
So he fell down drunk, leaving wherever they were,
hands him a
trying
pocket.
To get into the Uber.
Team will know better in 2 weeks, but Pastrnak is expected to return and play this season.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
What bad luck.
Not this month.
Oh, man. Oh, mama.
This season. Expected.
Hold on. This is verified.
He's going to be out the next 2 weeks and then reevaluated.
This is Rondo-esque. This is fell in a shower. Cut my hand.
Come on.
Wow. Remember, the trade deadline's coming up. They have to put out there that he's expected to play this season because they're going to lose leverage if he's out for the season, right?
Are they?
Leverage on what?
If they need to make a trade versus they want to make a trade.
Oh, well, they're not going to be trading for high-end talent that would be replacing David Pastrnak, right. So I don't think it factors in.
Still, anybody they're trading for, the price goes up if they need a guy, right?
Yeah, but I think the type of guys they're looking for, it doesn't matter. They still would be looking for help on that third line. I mean, that's the easily... found type of guy at the deadline.
Damn it. God. How does that happen?
Age, you trip. You really
hammered. Had a tough time handling being dethroned by Beetle in the Pucks and Paddles Championship.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Must have been a hell of a dinner.
Maybe I drove him to drink. Maybe that's what it was. Come on. Oh, it sucks. No, there you go. Bruins just lost one of their best players for a minimum 2 weeks, likely more.
Fell and hurt
his thumb.
Which means he
needed surgery on his thumb to repair a ligament.
Which means he ripped his thumb backwards, like catching himself on something. Oh, my God.
Leaving a sponsored dinner.
Good thing it was sponsored.
Well, I'm guessing it's with team sponsors they were out to dinner with.
Right.
Who's the sponsor? Who's the sponsor that got them all drunk?
Ace Tech.
Could be anybody. Team has a million sponsors.
Holtzman, Ace Ticket.
Look around the boards.
Yeah.
I'm on restitution wheel.
It's not Tim Hortons. Nobody from Tim Hortons. That's over the border.
As Tom said, was John Graham leaving a sponsorship event back in the day?
Who?
John Graham, the goalie.
Oh.
You know that story?
No.
Off the curb?
No.
Oh, yeah. Google John Graham, Bruins.
Okay.
I know John Hamm.
Austin's in the car on the Celtics. Hey, Austin.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love listening to you guys. Zoe and Bertrand are the best.
Hey,
my concerns with the Celtics, I'll preface this. I'm 75% Boston fan, BC stocks all the way. But my concerns with the Celtics echo similarly to my concerns with my favorite NFL team. You can probably guess who they are because they're really similar in a lot of ways. Young talent all around, high-end superstar players, questionable veteran leadership, a coach that's sometimes too open with the media and repeats himself a lot. You guys getting who I'm talking about on at least the NFL terms?
Nope.
Nah?
Nope.
It's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hmm.
A lot of similar concerns there. Questionable veteran leadership, drama every time they go to the mic. Locker room stuff gets out of the locker room. It seems like deja vu for me when I see a lot of the stuff with the Celtics going on with my Steelers. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think your Steelers are far more messy than the Celtics are. That's just my opinion. Steelers have a lot more going on than the Celtics do.
Yeah, the Steelers feel like it's, well, I don't know if it's messier, but it's different. It feels like it might be the coach and the quarterback versus everybody else.
Right.
And then you got other guys who just won't play.
Yep.
Or one guy specifically that you really could have used.
There's some similarities. Players that might be out for themselves instead of their team.
Yeah.
That could be true. I feel like, yeah, I don't think it's a great comparison, to be honest with you. I don't think that's good. I don't know. Coach who seems to say too much. Does Brad Stevens say too much?
No.
No.
Yeah. I think there's accountability.
Yeah, I don't want to spend any more time on this. I don't think it's a great comparison. Yeah. Yeah. Justin in Rehoboth. Hey, Justin.
Good morning, boys.
Hey.
Just wanted to give you a call and reference my phone call from December 20th. I think it was the hour that's labeled with a catch-up or something. And I started off that call by saying losing Josh Gordon is a blessing in disguise. And then after that, I actually predicted a Super Bowl. And I would love a nice little apology from you guys, if you don't mind.
Hold on a second.
Get in line.
What day was that?
December 20th, I think it was like the third hour or something, like 20 minutes in.
It says here that the last time you called, was 12:20 at 1:16 p.m.
Holy moly.
So
look at you, Justin.
December 20th.
Hey, I'm on top of it, baby.
In the final hours, the fourth hour of the show, we'll do our best.
I was toast by then.
We'll do our best to track that down.
Oh, yeah. No, I fell for you guys. I know it was the end of the
season. We'll do that in our takeaway. It's part of our takeaway.
I want to hear it now. I won't lie. I want to hear it.
So I was pretty much saying that it's like, you know, we're moving away from traditional offensive lineups and we're finally doing like the double back sets and confusing the defenses and all that stuff, and ended up working out.
All right. Justin, we'll take a look. We'll review the archives.
And will we apologize?
No, we won't apologize.
No, that's what he wants. He wants that apology.
We'll give him... We'll give him the ability to play it back and have him look like a genius. We could do that. That's helpful, I believe. I don't know if we're going to apologize. I wonder what we said to him at the time. You're probably like, no, you're an idiot. Dummy. No way. Mitch in the car.
Mitch.
On the Bruins after this news that David Pastrnak will be out at least 2 weeks after injuring his thumb.
Yeah, I was thinking he maybe wasn't drunk. Maybe it was icy.
When? Sunday night.
Sunday night?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle the ice. Maybe. Hockey player.
Funny.
I can't remember what Sunday night was. What was Sunday night?
I do Sunday night.
Sunday night was Sunday. The Grammys
Sunday,
were on.
Two, three.
Yeah.
It was an icy out.
Maybe he saw Alicia Keys with the two pianos and just said, I can't stand this. I gotta keep drinking and make this more enjoyable.
Just no. Maybe his head was just spun by the sheer awesomeness.
Honest.
The sheer brilliance
of somebody using
two
hands to play two pianos. Look, you just couldn't handle it anymore.
Right?
Yeah.
Could have been it.
hope he never watches Peter Frampton play. Like,
maybe he was just that guitar. Maybe he was just toasting Diana Ross so many times for her lifetime achievement honor that she had that he just let it get away from him.
She's so talented.
And a related story is Zdeno Chara saw a video of Neil Young playing harmonica and playing guitar at the same time, and he broke his leg.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. This time we welcome in the voice of the Boston Celtics. It's Sean Grandy with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Sean.
Check the Google machines on this, my friends. But didn't Brian Leach, the great Hall of Fame, Boston College, New York Ranger, didn't he break his ankle slipping on ice? Like away from the, I think there was a Ranger season that was ruined one year. I think he literally slipped on ice away from, like, getting into a cab or something.
There was no ice here.
So I know that. I'm simply saying there
is Mr. Hockey guy.
For such, well, once upon a time.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, everything's just wonderful in Celtics
Nation. Sure,
what have you heard? What have you heard?
Do you blame Marcus Morris for what he said Saturday night after that game?
I am never crazy about guys taking locker room stuff outside the locker room. I always would lean towards keeping what belongs inside. All that said, you know, when I came in the league, the coach of Minnesota when I was there the first couple of years was the late Flip Saunders, and he had a saying. He used to like to say, the truth cannot be controversial, which, of course, is completely untrue. It generally is it's controversial all the time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't wrong, you know, what he said. And I think, you know, guys speaking out of frustration, I think there's an element that you want, you know, you want guys, like, satisfied with what's happening here, even though you're in this very bizarre amalgam of expectations being too high, of the other teams in the East being too good. And have the Celtics underachieved? You can't argue any other way than they have. I just don't think it's been – I think there have been a lot of other things that have happened that have made it seem more dramatic, you know, the way they're losing games. You know, you can't – a game like Thursday, that or the Rondo shot, the way the Lakers came back, games like – fluke games will happen in the course of a year. Obviously, Saturday in the home game against Utah, the home game against New York early in the year, there have just been too many uncomfortable nights.
And so now there's what was, I guess, internal locker room stuff that's out there, and now we sort of have a glimpse into what it is that's going on inside that room, or at the very least how some players feel inside that room about their teammates. We also got the report from Gary Washburn after the fact that it's not as if there are players who are beefing with one another, as he said, but it's almost as if they're all just sort of coexisting and trying to do it politely. So, you know, where does the coach factor into all this? Because it feels like there are guys who are just not buying in or playing for each other. And what can a coach do to help sort of bring this all together?
I don't, you know, if I knew that, I'd be coaching. I think there's a young player. One of the, I don't want to say it's a flaw, that's the wrong way to phrase it, but the construct of great teams, of championship teams, rarely are the, I don't want to say role players either, because when you're in the playoffs and you're a serious playoff team, the guy who's the sixth guy and the seventh guy and the eighth guy, these aren't, I mean, their definition, everybody has their role. But you're playing 20 significant minutes. But generally speaking, the guys that are in those spots are not second, third-year players, 21-year-old guys who haven't sort of found their place yet in the league. That's generally unusual. Doc talked about this quite a bit when he came in last week. I thought he had a pretty good from-the-outside analysis of kind of the you know, the roster construct right now, that talent, it's not always about talent. It's about where you are, you know, in your career. All that said, what's really interesting to me, and I've seen people bring up this whole, well, they're better without Kyrie and they're better without, which, you know, is absurd at every level, and I'm sure we'll see that tonight. The fact that the Celtics don't have a lot of those quality road wins, those wins that make you really feel good about their chances, the bad news is they don't have a lot of those. The other bad news is it's because they have a ton of them coming up, which could also be the good news, which is that we really, that their real tests are ahead. They have more road games against 500 teams left than they have played, which is remarkable considering we're almost 70% of the way through the season. So I'm really interested to see how they face these tests at Philadelphia and Golden State, and they get the Lakers and the Clippers. They get to play them again, and you're playing in Milwaukee next week and Toronto. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these final few weeks play out.
All right, Kyrie's out, obviously, with the knee, sprained a knee the other night. How bad of a look would it be if he played in the All-Star game?
It would not be good. But then again, how far away is that? It's what, Sunday night?
It's far enough away to where he could get healthy before it. But if ultimately, you care about the knee and this team moving forward here, especially down the stretch.
Yeah, let's see what happens. We're assuming for the sake of that particular question, which is a good one, we're assuming he's not playing tomorrow, which we don't really know yet. So let's see how that goes. If he doesn't play tomorrow, I think it's not a good look, right? But the story of the 2019 Celtics will not be hinged upon whether or not Kyrie plays a few minutes in the All-Star game on Sunday. But I think the reason you bring that up and we discuss it is because this team has sort of invited those kind of things.
Bingo.
He's
under the microscope now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. If you're 40-16, there were a couple games early in the year. You have an 18-point lead at Denver. The Celtics have some ridiculous number. When they're up by 18, I think I did it for tonight because it'll be such a dramatic-looking tweet. Celtics were 68-2 the last 70 times they were up by 18. Now they're 0-2 because it happened two games in a row. But they had that game at Denver. Let's say that Denver, Jamal Murray doesn't go crazy. How many nights Jamal Murray goes crazy? Kemba Walker goes crazy in Charlotte. D'Angelo Russell. So many of these games could have gone like they did last year when nobody remembers the fact that the Celtics, and again, I don't have it off the top of my head, the Celtics finished, 19-17 last year? But everybody, it's like this year Jose Iglesias. Remember he was hitting like 400 in May or June? There was no way his batting average was going to look bad by the end of the year, even though there's no – last year the Celtics started 16-2, right. 36-10. No, all the stuff got covered up at the end because the record was so good. This year when you start 10-10, the fact that they went 25-9, you could make an argument that 25-9 stretch, the Celtics were as good as anybody in the NBA for 10 weeks. But because you had a 10-10 start, you invite things like should Kyrie play in the All-Star game, I think it's all fair game.
Well, I also think it's coming after two really bad losses. Do you think
that these
have been the worst two losses of the year back-to-back?
Well, the Laker thing, I think it's because it was the Lakers. If that game, a fluke game like that happened,
but you're up
that
eight.
Ball bounced. Up 18. No
up 18 at home against a team that had just lost by 42.
No doubt. But it was. I think the fact that it was the Lakers made it worse. And if that game, let me put it this way. If that game was against, Minnesota, who shouldn't have been a bad team. If that game was against, Atlanta or somebody, Orlando in November, I think the fact that it was the Lakers and it was Rondo in the national TV thing, that made it worse. And then you had there's no way to disguise what a terrible thing that was to sit through on Saturday. And to see I think the biggest marker is for all the external conversation is I've never seen in 18 years here, I've never seen the Celtic fans as excited, as enthusiastic, as emotional about a team as they were this team to start the year. And flash forward to where we are now, two-thirds of the way through, and fans are booing and walking out because they've been through this. How many times have we discussed in this segment, have they turned the corner? Because so many times they have, and what's really frustrating people is they've been really, really good at times. It hasn't been a thing where they've just been mediocre all year.
Right.
Heck out of people. Right.
A week ago, we're talking about, are they playing their best basketball, winning 10 of 11, exactly. Their only loss in that stretch being to Golden State. Danny Ainge told Toucher and Rich the other day that he had to talk to one player leading up to the deadline because his name may have come up in trade rumors. Any guess as to who that may have been?
No, I think it's. I think we all know the three guys. I don't know specifically who it was. I know there was the. I don't think, to tell you the truth, these guys have been through it. I don't think the trade deadline stuff and the Anthony Davis stuff is that. I don't think that's the issue. Where it could be in some, this is the natural human thing. I think with the Lakers, when Magic goes out every day and leaks to everybody that he wants to trade his entire team, that's a legitimate thing that you have to address.
Right.
Because the Celtics weren't really involved. Celtics weren't involved here, not publicly. There was, I'm sure there was conversations and things that happened, with New Orleans. New Orleans made, obviously, the right decision for them. But I don't think it's the trade deadline. You can, you poke at this and poke at that. Maybe one day we'll find out what the issue is. Maybe we won't even be discussing this because maybe there's a second round playoff win with the Celtics win at Milwaukee, you know, somehow and go to the conference finals because they turn things around. All these things, you know, with a healthy Kyrie, all these things are possible. The Celtics couldn't win a road playoff game last year.
Yeah.
That's without, you know, I run these numbers a million times. But with Kyrie on the road, virtually anything becomes possible.
Well, here's the latest report, by the way, as it relates to the drama with the Celtics. Tim McMahon of ESPN reported this today.
Tatum.
It's gossip, but the gossip is Jason Tatum wouldn't mind if he's shipped to New Orleans and has a chance to be the face of a franchise somewhere because he's not going to get that opportunity in Boston, at least not in the immediate future. This, I'm sure, will only help matters with the team right now and what's going on.
Yeah, especially, and I think it's, you know, this is what we do, right? For the, as Brad and I have been joking that the games now are just kind of a two-hour disruption from the 22 hours of drama that go on in between it. And when this guy says there's a rumor that this guy might be feeling this way, and this guy's father says that he doesn't want to play in Boston because they traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving after all he did, you know, like, it is, it's silly season, crazy season. All that said, if you were Jason Tatum and you said, man, there's no way, I don't want to get traded, I don't want to whatever, if that was, there's actually truth to it, so what if he wants to be the face of a franchise? I'm sure he'd prefer to be here. I know he'd prefer to be here. But I don't think that is much of a thing other than, as we said, this team has sort of invited that kind of stuff. And that was an issue, you know, that's been a joke with Max and I. Max went to Jason Tatum's father a year ago. Because Jason Tatum's father actually went to Max last year and said, hey, I heard you said you'd trade my son for Anthony Davis. And Max said, yeah. And then after they talked about it, Jason Tatum's, you know, the opposite of Anthony Davis's father. Jason Tatum's father said, well, yeah, I guess you're right, because it was Anthony Davis. And, you know, there's so much on. I'm actually pretty impressed. I've been very impressed with the way Jason Tatum carries himself when you consider the fact that at the same age, Paul Pierce was still in college. And I think we forget that a lot when it comes to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and just how crazy young these guys are and dealing with a lot of this. You know, this is, we're in a, it's never been this way before with the internet and the craziness and the, this guy's father says this and whatever. And yet, you know, they don't, he generally carries himself pretty well through this whole thing. He's not non-disruption. He's not whatever. And he's, you know, he comes every night. He doesn't get hurt. Doc always used to say what his favorite ability was, availability. And Jason Tatum's going to lead this team at 19 and 20 years old. He's going to lead the team in minutes played, likely, each of the first 2 years.
All right, Sean. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the All-Star break.
You got it, gentlemen.
All right, take care. Pal. Sean Grandy joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Solak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, one of the things that we say at the very beginning of the year is we don't want to be a team quoted of unnamed sources. So if you're going to say something, you got to put your name next to it. And Marcus's frustrations were obvious and evident. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I thought he said a lot of stuff that can't really argue in the last two games. And so we need to be a lot better than we were at finishing out games and handling adverse situations in games and go from there. But, you know, as long as we can put our name next to it, I'm good.
Here we go.
Brad Stevens.
Come, lady.
Yesterday, talking about the comments that were made by Marcus Morris Saturday night. You'll hear from Marcus Morris in a minute. Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a Valentine's dinner. Mwah. That's a dinner cruise aboard the Spirit of Boston happening this Friday night. Your most memorable Valentine's Day yet is waiting on the water. For you and your sweetheart aboard Spirit for dinner.
Valentine's Day is Spirit? Thursday.
Yes, this cruise is for Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can still celebrate Valentine's Day through the weekend, I believe. Not everybody wants to go out on a weeknight.
That's a good point.
Right?
Go out Friday or Saturday. I think so. I just realized, oh, Valentine's Day is Thursday. I got to do something.
Yeah. So check it out for yourself. Visit spiritcruises.com to book your Valentine's Day cruise today. And again, caller 10 right now. 617-931-0985. That's the contest line. Don't call the call-in line because you can't win that way. Call the contest line, 617-931-0985. Our thanks to Spirit Cruises on that. So that was Brad Stevens yesterday saying we don't want to be this team of unnamed sources and leaking things out. He didn't have a, he expressed he didn't have an issue with the things that Marcus Morris said. Marcus Morris also came back and sort of backed up what he had said. We had the quotes yesterday, but now you can hear him in his own words.
How did the team respond to what you said the other night?
For the most part, you know, everybody agreed with me. Coach, you know, he thought it was, you know, right thing to say. You know, and then more to the fact of, you know, I could basically kept that in house and, you know, and talked to, you know, my teammates. But the guys caught me at a good time. I was hot. I spoke words real. You know, I didn't take it out of context or point anybody out. I just said as a whole, I just felt like, you know, we got to enjoy this process. And, you know, when we up 20 or 30, it has to seem like we're up 20 or 30, you know, and I think that stretches out, you know, around the league, you know. That's just basically it.
Basically it.
That's it.
Right thing. Doesn't back down at all from what he said.
Coach agreed with him.
I love it, especially since they're playing the Sixers. Enjoy the process.
Enjoy the
process. Don't trust the process. Enjoy the process.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the process. By the way, isn't the game tonight for the Celtics against the Sixers sort of interesting in the fact that you want to see how they respond?
Yeah, it's a must-see for me. Yeah.
You want to see how they respond. They're doing it against a team that's made some moves, right? They haven't stood pat. They've made moves. They've tried to improve their team.
Just put up 140 on the Lakers the other day.
A lot of points being scored there. You know, I don't know if it's really a rivalry or not, but it feels like there's been a little back and forth between the Sixers and the Suns.
Sure.
Going back to the playoffs last year. And, well, they're another team in the East that matters.
Yep, Toronto, the Bucks, all of them.
And how do you respond? And how do you respond knowing that you don't have Kyrie on the floor?
That's what's interesting. It's like, how do the young guys respond with Kyrie being out, right? Because if that's the problem, and it's the young guys, and it's, well, everybody's standing around. Well, it's interesting what he said, too, though. He said, you look at the other benches, back to what Moore said Saturday night. Everybody else is jumping up and down on their bench, you know, happy for the other guys that are out there making plays. That's a bad indictment on your own team. That right there says, we don't have guys that jump up on our bench when somebody makes a play out there. Like, that's scary. Like, it's almost like you're rooting for somebody else that's getting your minutes not to do well.
Mm.
And that is an indictment on your own team, man. That's the thing that stood out the most for me the other night. I'm looking down at their bench, and they got guys up off the bench going crazy when their team's making plays or there's a guy making a play for them. We don't have that. It's like you're not – that's one of the biggest things you need as a team is that bench excitement when you make a play or somebody burns a timeout, and you're coming back from there, and the crowd's going nuts. Well, you're not going to get up and give the guy a dap. Just going to put the towel around your neck and get out of the way and let him sit down. That's what's scary to me. Because I thought that's what this team had working for them last year. And it might work for them with Kyrie being out. I don't know. We'll see how the young guys react. See how Rozier reacts. See how they all react tonight. This is a must-see game tonight. They got to respond. They got to respond well.
And now Jason Tatum has gossip about him wanting to go to the Pelicans and be the face of the Pelicans or any other NBA franchise. Fun.
Yeah, go then.
Fun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.